Well, good morning, Prestonwood. Let's stand together as we get ready to sing and lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Hey, we're glad to see each and every one of you today. Well, let's sing. This is where you stir my desperation. And this is where all my striving ceases. And I will leave you healing what's been broken. It's our prayer this morning. Open our eyes.
So open our eyes. Break every chain. We've seen your power. Our God saves. There's no one else. We put our trust in you. Sing it again. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Break every chain. We've seen your power. Our God saves. There's no one else. We put
to see you. We have one that's following Christ in believers' baptism this morning. This is my friend Ryan Strasburger. I had the privilege of meeting Ryan and his wife Shay, and before you say I do, a while back, and Ryan has decided to give his life to Christ. So, Ryan, are you being baptized this morning because you have trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Because of that public profession of faith, it is my honor and my joy to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
We love you, Jesus. We love your presence, God. Let's sing together. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until till I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Say, God has been faithful to me. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Welcome to Preston Wood. I am Pastor Gilberto Corredera, the pastor of Preston Wood in Espanol. On behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Ram, welcome to worship with us. It's a blessing to be here, right? I know that today is going to be a great day of worship. And for those who are visiting us today, you are a guest here, welcome. We have been praying for you. And don't miss out what is happening in our church. You can pass by Guest Central. And we have a gift for you. And also, is you want to register online, you can send right now a text to 74788 with the word guest. Or if you don't have a chance to pick up a worship guy, Preston Wood today, also you can send a text, 74788, and you can have it over there, right? So let's welcome people around the world who are worshiping with us right now through internet, online. Welcome. People from more than 40 nations are worshiping with us every Sunday. Welcome to Preston Wood Online. And Easter is coming. It's a time to celebrate. How many are ready for Easter? It's time to celebrate the resurrection, the power that saved us. So how you can be part of this? I want to invite you to take yard signs that we have in every door when you go out. You can take this, like door hangers that you can invite people. And also you can take this, these small cards, and tell others about your church, everything that is going on here, and tell others about the hope that we have and the resurrected Christ. Amen. I don't know how you came here. Maybe you came here ready to worship. Maybe you came here with a lot of heaviness in your heart. But I want to ask you right now to pray. Let's pray together. Take a moment in your life and open your heart to the Lord. And whatever you need, whatever you are feeling, you can be open with Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. And we are here for you. We want to give you glory. We want to give you honor for your faithfulness. Hear our cry, Lord. Bless every heart here and also through the internet. Receive our worship, our praise. And Lord, manifest your presence in this place, in our life, now and forever. We pray in the name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gilberto. So many great things God is doing through his ministry and in Espanol all around the world. And, you know, as we continue in worship today, one of my personal greatest joys in life is to be a dad. I love being a dad, and my kids are getting older now, but I remember when they were little and they would reach that point in their journey when they were just young kids, preschoolers even. Maybe we would be at Disney World or shopping at the mall or at a restaurant, and they would get too tired. They would get so weary that they just couldn't go any longer. Daddy, pick me up. Daddy, pick me up. And I remember many times carrying them around theme parks. You know, they were completely asleep. My arms were asleep. Many of you dads know you've been there. But this, that picture of a father's heart carrying a weary child. And that's really where this next song was birthed out of. It's a new choir song. And I'm so glad to have the choir with us. They are with us now full on. And so we're so excited. But I was reminded of the scripture passage in Deuteronomy when Moses is speaking to the Israelites and he's reminding them what God has done for them. And he says this, "The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you just as he did for you in Egypt right before your eyes." And listen to this. "And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place right now." Many of you here are weary. You're sliding into home. You're broken. And today the Lord wants to say to you, "I'm going to carry you. I got this." In just a few minutes, we're going to be watching the video of how the Lord carried our church family all through 2020. It's the theme of the day. It's His faithfulness, and we worship Him for it. Amen.
Amen. knows your pain. He counts the tears you've yet to cry. He's not afraid when broken prayers all start with why. When the next step is impossible to take, remember the promise he made. He will carry you. He will carry you. It's his strength, it's his power, always bringing us through. He will carry you. Oh, yes, he will. The Father's heart is tender toward the ones he loves. His arms are strong and reaching down when we reach up. Oh, when the battle feels impossible to face, just remember you are held and you are saved. Your hope is fading, carry you. No matter what you face, he hears your prayer and he is there to carry you. When your fear comes calling, carry you. When the tears start falling, carry you. He's seen it all. Lift up your eyes, he hears your cry.
March of 2020, a microscopic menace caused a monumental shift. Shelter in place, mask up, don't touch, don't move, don't breathe, stop. How do we move forward when it all stops? How do we gear up when everything locks down? We have to innovate. When others see obstacles, the church sees opportunities. And in the hardest of times, God sends unexpected blessings. When COVID hit, our entire team shifted to online church. With our technology and media team, worship services and life groups would not be stopped. Easter weekend, over 1.2 million people worshiped with us on PowerPoint and Prestonwood.live, and the best part is 1,003 souls came to faith in Christ. Wednesday night connection services online continue to reach multiplied thousands weekly. From the youngest children to our senior adults, everyone stayed connected. Every ministry created unique online content to connect, worship, testify, and study God's Word together. From online VBS to custom-made women's studies to worship videos, resources were still made available, and the bookstore ensured everyone had easy access to what they needed. We threw parties and cheered people on at every major milestone, from new births and birthdays to marriages and graduations. In their time of need, many got a phone call or a text saying someone was praying for them in that moment. Many gifts were left on doorsteps to remind people they are not forgotten. We drove miles for smiles to support one another. And our special needs ministry continues to visit people's homes and worship through windows. We supported hospitals with a blood drive and handmade masks. Prestonwood Mission served over 1 million meals and donated 1,100 backpacks of school supplies, filled 8,000 Christmas shoeboxes, and served thousands in our community. 624 people were sent to 24 locations on 5 continents, and great work was done in the name of Jesus. Prestonwood's work continued around the world by national partners in 35 countries, with tens of thousands hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We paved the way in getting the doors of our church back open when we regathered on May 31st, because we know God's people are made to be in fellowship with one another. We hit the ground running with our Don't Blink message series. Main Street provided safe meals when our staff were brought back on campus. And we got a glimpse of heaven itself when the choir triumphantly re-entered the worship center from every door in the church. Prestonwood Christian Academy led the way in getting education back in the classrooms in the fall and our sports teams back in the game. We recently welcomed Dr. Mike Goddard as the new head of school. In the midst of a standstill, God expanded our vision. We built new facilities at our North Campus. Construction begins soon on a state-of-the-art sports facility centered around families. Our staff is growing as well, with gifted pastors and leaders like Scott Turner. Our Life Recovery Ministry continues to expand its ministry in all areas of mental health and trauma. Prestonwood Cares continues to meet physical needs all throughout the community. Christmas brought people together globally with our Joyous Hope TV special that reached 1 million people. Deb Graham and friends took us through a study of Advent. We hosted a beautiful traditional Advent service, a ruckus tree lighting festival, and a Christmas Eve service that brought us all together by warm glow of candlelight. All of these ministries multiplied in Prestonwood Español, a ministry that is global in reach, continues to grow. In the year that everything stopped, the church did not. From kids' concerts on the lawn to a prayer march in D.C., our kids rallied from Freedom Weekend, Preteen Weekend, to mission trips and beyond. New worship recordings and record generosity. Online specials that reached millions and countless personal visits to reach one person at home. Over 400 baptized into new life. God is moving. The church is alive and well, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And the best is yet to come.
Well, that is bone-chilling to me, just to reflect just a little bit of the highlights of these past 12 months and all that God has done. And one theme is concurrent in all of these days of the pandemic. That is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And today I wanted to take some time just with you, church family, and with all of you online to reflect on what we've learned and what we are learning through this experience. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 31, Psalm number 31. And we're going to take a look at verses 14 and 15 of this great psalm when it speaks of the time of our lives. This has been, of course, the most unexpected and perhaps unusual times of our lifetimes. And yet we have received, with unexpected burdens and battles, unexpected blessings. And what we're going to see in Psalm 31 is that our times are in His hands. Beginning at verse 14, "But I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God." And there it is. "My times are in Your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." And verse 16, "Make Your face shine on Your servant." Pray with me for just a moment. Lord, we invite Your Spirit to speak to us through Your Word and through Your servant today. Open our hearts, our ears, our lives to know and to do Your will and to celebrate in the midst of one of the most challenging years of our times. May we celebrate Your goodness and faithfulness through it all as we have learned and are learning to trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Just that one phrase leaps off the page to me. Our times are in His hands, which means our days, including the details, and our destiny, these are in the omnipotent grip of God. We are in His hands, even as our times are in His hands, because our times represent our lives. And so throughout our days, the moments, the minutes, the nights, and the days, God has us in the palm of His hands. And may I remind you, because of what Christ has done in entering our times and our lives, He holds us, He carries us in His hands, and His hands are nail-scarred hands. He knows our needs and has experienced our pain and our suffering. We are in the omnipotent grip of God, and He has promised to never let us go. Never to turn loose. We have our identity and our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? He said, "You're in the Father's hands, and no man will be able to pluck you from the Father's hand." Nothing, no man can take us out of the grip of our God. We are in His hands. Our times are in His hands. We are not trapped by the hands of fate or the fortuitous conjunction of circumstances or the fingers of fate. No. As believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the hands of our God. He holds us. Not blind forces that are out of control, but in the goodness and the faithfulness of God, in the providences of God. In the providences of God, He is working. He is weaving His perfect plan for all of our lives who belong to Him. And what is that plan? What is the purpose of God in holding us, carrying us, keeping us? It is to make us more and more like Jesus. Romans 8 tells us that in the providence, in the predestiny of God. God is making us more and more like His own dear Son. And so all of the events of life, the times of our lives, in His hands, He is making us and shaping us more and more like His Son. And I don't know about you, but for me, He has a lot of work to do. But He never stops working. Even when we can't see His plan, even when we don't know what's happening, God is at work. The invisible hand of providence is at work. Now, the last 12 months, and this is the Sunday, 12 months ago when we went online full time, we suspended live church services for about 9 weeks, and we were online as the whole world was thrown into this pandemic. We could have never imagined the length and the depth of the trial, the test that would come. Probably most of us thought it'll be here just a little while and then we'll be back to life as normal. Remember, 15 days to slow the spread. And here we are 1 year later, and we have been tested as we have trusted Him. We could not have imagined a year ago that we would be now looking at 534,000 deaths in the United States and 2.7 deaths around the world. I read a statistic just this week that 25% of us, at least 25% of us, have a family member or a close friend who has perished, died in the pandemic. The Bible talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And these months of the plague have seemed like the virus is a valley, a deep, dark, depressing valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, it seemed like a valley. Hospitals were stretched to capacity. Doctors and nurses and medical personnel and frontline workers were overwhelmed and often overworked. And how we thank God for those who have served us in this time, in our hospitals, in our medical community. Businesses were shut down. Communities were locked down. We remember this. Sheltered in place. We sheltered in space. There was economic problems and job loss, and one of the highest impacts of the pandemic has been the school situation and the shutting down of schools and going online with learning. And some schools are across our nation are yet to open. And along with all of this and more came fear and anxiety and loneliness and problems with addiction and marriage, suicides, anger, all those emotional struggles that people have faced and are facing and are yet to face coming out and through COVID-19. This weekend coming up, Friday and Saturday, is our River Conference, which is focusing on life recovery. So glad we have a life recovery ministry here at Prestonwood, led by Michael Perrin, and we've been working overtime as a church to be there to help hurting people who not only have a medical crisis at hand, but a mental health crisis. We know that is true. It just seemed like everything was, well, unplugged. And then came the summer and the murder of George Floyd and the subsequent riots and violence in the streets and the desire for equality and the social unrest and the volatility then came in the fall of the most disruptive national election in our lifetimes and the political division that has resulted. It seems like everything was getting canceled. even Mr. Potato Head, and Dr. Seuss. Some want to cancel American history. On a personal level, your vacation was canceled, your travel plans, your entertainment plans. On a deeper level, weddings went online, canceled. The dream of a little girl's heart taken away. The plans were changed. Funerals. Though here at Prestonwood, we always served those who needed a funeral in person. We had people working and we did it well, but so many people didn't get to even say goodbye to their loved ones. And funerals were so different. Graduations, entertainment, sports. That's why I say we were unplugged. The psalmist said in Psalm 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The scripture also says in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, and we actually covered Ephesians 5 verse 16 during the pandemic in a message on Ephesians. We talked about how we are to seize the day and redeem the time, to buy up the opportunity, to not waste this season. So what are we learning? What have we learned during the past 12 months? In 1923, a man by the name of Thomas Chisholm wrote a poem celebrating God's goodness, his faithfulness over this man's lifetime. Thomas Chisholm was a part-time preacher, but he was primarily an insurance salesman. And back in the day, 1923, the nation, the world, was in a good place, it appeared. Coming out of the First World War, President Woodrow Wilson or someone near to him said, this is the war to end all wars. And there was this optimism about the future of the world and the future of this country. And not only that, the world had come out of a pandemic greater than the one that we have experienced, the Spanish flu, that killed millions and millions and millions and millions of people. But 1923 is the roaring 20s. The economy is booming. But this man is looking back over the past years and he sees the faithfulness of God in his life. He sent the lyrics, this poem that he had written to a man by the name of William Runyon in Kansas, who then set them to music. The words and the music. Great is thy faithfulness. It was published, and immediately, as churches and Christians began to sing this song, it became a classic. And to this day, it is among the most popular hymns of all time, of generations. Chisholm himself, the writer of the words, the lyrics, he often struggled with health problems and financial issues in his life. And he later reflected as he wrote this poem, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that he wanted to recall and record the unfailing, and I quote, the unfailing faithfulness of God, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Astonishing gratefulness. He based his lyrics on the words of Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. I've often smiled that in at the outset, really, of a book named Lamentations is one of the most encouraging and elevating and uplifting passages of Scripture in all of God's Word. Listen to Lamentations 3, 22, 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Say it, great is thy faithfulness. When I sing or read the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, I'm particularly taken to the stanza which says, pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with thousands beside. I pray as your pastor and friend that you have once again affirmed whatever has happened in your days of COVID-19, that you once again celebrate the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God in your life. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. This is what we need. Chisholm could not have known when he wrote these words that in just a few years, another war would come. A second world war, more devastating and death-dealing than any previous. That the economy globally would be taken down by the Great Depression, an economic collapse like the world has never seen. And then on the heels of that, the rise of Marxism and socialism, and then following through to secularism and life without God. And now this global pandemic, the worst of our century, this century, our lifetimes. And it's impossible to know what is next. What's coming? There's another virus that is spreading across the world and across our country, and it is a systemic problem, and it is the problem of sin and secularism and life without God. And we wonder as we look to the future, what about our children and our grandchildren? Scary thought. What kind of world will we be leaving behind as a legacy of our lives and of our faith? What have we learned? Because I guarantee you we're going to need what we have learned and what we are learning in the days ahead. I asked our children this week, we were around the table, some of our family, and I asked our children the question, what have we learned? What are we learning? I was very pleased with the answers. The strength and the stability of our children and seeing it even in the lives of their children would be a good thing for you and your family to do. Let me suggest it. That you get around a table sometime here before Easter and ask yourselves, what have we learned? What are we learning? Is it just something we're going through, or is it something we're growing through? And I got a lot of answers, primarily regarding priorities and perseverance and patience and, yes, providence. The providential hand and work and wisdom of God. Oh, how we need God's wisdom. And God's wisdom comes through the word and through prayer. The scripture says, if anyone wants to know wisdom from God, let him ask of God, and God will give it generously and liberally and never scold you for asking why or asking what is this. This is wisdom. Let us number our days, count them one by one, that we may apply our hearts, due diligence, to wisdom in our lives, which is the practical outworking of knowledge. It is knowing things and knowing things how they work. When we learn to apply truth to life's tests, this is wisdom. And it is the theme of this message, that God is trustworthy, that His word is true. Our Savior is the one who is called faithful and true. And he deserves the best of our lives. He deserves everything we have. He's got a plan. And I don't know where you are in terms of your physical health, your mental health, financial, family health, all of the above. But I do know, according to Jeremiah 29, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Verse 11, plans not to harm you, not to hurt you, but for your welfare. To give you a future and a hope. I picked up the latest edition of Prestonwood Christian Academy's magazine, just talking about some things that talking about the school year and all the good things that happened at PCA this year. And on the back cover, I saw an article by one of our members, Trent Dunham, who is the president of Dunham Company. And in the article, it's called Rest in Him. He talks about 2018 and a time in his life when just the challenges of business and the challenges of growing his life and family left him, and these are his words, numb and burnt out, sad, a little angry, and exhausted, really exhausted, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of it. He'd experienced some personal loss, and he was tired. How many people would say, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm burned out? Well, in 2018, Trent came to that place. And after he had talked with a friend and counseled with a brother in Christ, he felt the Holy Spirit saying to him, are you ready to let go? Are you ready to let go? He said the answer was clearly yes, all caps. Big yes. But I didn't really know what that meant. He goes on to say, over the past 2 years, God has been faithfully, there's that word again, faithfully unpacking what it means to fully rest in Him. He said, I'm a driver by nature, an achiever. Welcome to the club, Trent. But God used 2018 to break me, watch this, of my addiction to achievement as a God in my life in so many ways. Here's what I believe many of us are learning. When everything that we thought was so important in our lives was taken away, or at least put on pause, when we were unplugged, shut down, sheltering in space, losing so many normal things in life, I believe God has been teaching us to tear down every idol in our lives, to rip away all the other little gods in which we have been trusting and trying, whether it is power or pleasure or achievement or addiction. All these things in our lives that we rely upon, that we rest in for satisfaction, for pleasure. I believe God wants to use these days, our times are in His hands, to tear down those things that are not essential to Him. Because Jesus is everything. Trent goes on to say, 2020 could have been another 2018 for me. And maybe it was for you. But the one thing that I know is this. God is not just sufficient in every circumstance, but He has our very best on His heart every step of the way. We can't always see the full narrative that He is unpacking in our lives, but no matter how dark it gets, we can trust in His goodness towards us. So what I am learning, and I pray you are learning, the first thing is to rely upon Him like never before. To rest in Him. I assure you that a sub-microscopic virus that brought nations to our knees did not catch God by surprise. God is the God of the virus. He's in control of the virus and of therefore world events. None of this caused God to wring his hands and walk about wondering, what am I going to do next? God has this. Our times are in his hands, and God has you. He has you in his hands. Soon the pandemic will be history. We'll be back to work, the economy will stabilize, and life will be back to some sort of normal. But we must never forget coming out and coming through what God has done and what God will do. The biggest crisis we face, as I said earlier, is a spiritual crisis that's coming to the world. We're seeing the decline of the church. We're seeing the rise of godliness, people turning away from God to other gods. In our nation, people are leaving the God of our fathers. The devaluating of life, the destruction of sexual identity, addiction, crime, mental illness, that's all epidemic as well. And so we better learn to rely on him, to rest in him, and to teach our children and our children's children the same, to pass it on. You know, when Jesus spoke, he often spoke in parables and he often spoke in hyperbole, from the lesser to the greater. From the lesser to the greater. For example, Jesus said, if you as fathers know how to give good things to your children, if you know how to take care of your children as a good father, do you not know that the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to all who trust and believe in him? Lesser to greater. A lesser father to the greatest father, the greater father. And then another example is when Jesus spoke of sparrows, these little birds. And he said, the Father in heaven notices the birds. He feeds the birds. He takes care of the birds. And even when a sparrow falls to the ground, the Heavenly Father knows. Really? The God of the universe cares when a sparrow falls to the ground? He then said, lesser to greater. If he cares about the birds, don't you know he cares about believers? He cares about you. That you are worth more than the birds. If God loves the birds, think of your worth and your value, and that he sees and he knows. What kind of God would we have if he was so distant, so removed, that he didn't see, that he didn't care, that he didn't act in love and faithfulness and devotion to us? What kind of God would we have? No, we have a God who cares. We have a God who carries us, who holds us, greater, lesser to the greater. God cares for those birds. Don't you know that you are of greater worth than they? Put that on your resume. You know, you've got your resume. You've got your life, your history, your work, career, all those things, all the things you're doing. You know, people fumble through. If you're a young person, you know, you're looking for a job, you're coming out of university, you're getting ready to enter the workforce, you know, you put all this resume together and it's all slick, but just maybe just put at the bottom, worth more than sparrows. And when they're fumbling through your resume and tossing the others away with all the stuff, but they see yours and it says, worth more than sparrows? what kind of crazy person do we have here? And they're going to call you and say, what do you mean? Worth more than sparrows. And you get to tell them the story of your worth and your wealth in Christ. Never forget the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. We are to rely on Him. And then we are to trust in Him, but we are to rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. We're learning to celebrate Him. I say that faith, trusting God, means believing and relying on Him in spite of the circumstances and in spite of the consequences. Some of us have the first part down. Oh, I can trust God in spite of the circumstances. We'll get through this. It's going to get better. But what if it doesn't get better? What if it gets worse? What if your commitment to Christ and your devotion to Jesus gets you in greater trouble? What if the consequences of your faith increase your problems? Faith is believing and trusting in God in spite of circumstances and in spite of consequences. Meaning, illustration. We preached on this during the pandemic. One of the strangest, craziest experiences of my life was standing in this empty room and preaching right to that camera. I mean, I knew you were on the other side somewhere, but I just couldn't see you. And we've learned a lot about our online outreach, and we're going to stay online and not make it an afterthought. We're going to continue to grow this outreach and ministry of our church. Our Wednesday night, for example, the connection service is another step from Sunday worship where we can gather people around God's Word, and we're growing in community groups and all that. But I'm just telling you, it was wacky for me to stand here and to preach to an empty room. And yet I began to realize the room wasn't really empty. That God's Spirit was in this place even when we weren't. And God's Spirit was where you were and where you are. He never leaves us. And in the midst of this, I learned to celebrate the goodness and faithfulness of God and the joy that He gives. Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul said, not from a pulpit, but from prison. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Jesus, just hours before the cross, said to His disciples in the upper room, before His last Passover supper with His family of friends, He said, my joy I give to you, not as the world gives, but my joy. What the world gives passes away, but Jesus said, my joy never passes away. And when we pray with gratitude, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, when we pray and do not worry, and with gratitude, we ask God His peace flows like a river, washes over us God's very presence. We begin celebrating every day as a gift from God. Are you learning this? In spite of circumstances and in spite of consequences. Many biblical examples. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for one. They stood up for their God, refused to bow down to the image of the king. It got them thrown into a fiery furnace. They said, O king, we don't have to consider whether we're going to do this thing or not. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we still will not bow down to your idol. They found themselves in the fire, but guess what? Jesus got in there with them. Jesus may not keep you out of the fire, but he will always go there with you. Paul and Silas, beaten to within an inch of their lives, hung in stocks and bonds in a jail in Philippi, all for preaching the gospel, being true to Christ. And what did they do? Moan and groan and cry and complain? Paul turns to Silas and says, Silas, it's midnight, it's dark. Maybe we should sing something. And they begin to sing songs of praise and worship to God. God shook the house, the jailhouse. That was the first jailhouse rock. An earthquake came. They were set free. They led the jailer and his entire family to Christ. You see, my point is that joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I remember one of the messages that we preached during the pandemic was from the book of Habakkuk. We were introduced to one of those minor prophets, Habakkuk. It sounds like a machine for getting your back well. And in the middle of that, God was saying to Habakkuk, as this man was complaining about what was going on, couldn't understand it. Why are these things happening? And God said, I'm doing some things. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Remember that sermon? Please say, yes, I do. And at the close of that passage, chapter 3, let's put it on the screen. Habakkuk chapter 3, here's what he said. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and nor fruit be on the vines, or the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd in the stall. In other words, we've lost everything. Yet, say yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Joy, I'm closing. I got a lot more. I'll bring it again another day. I'm learning a lot. I hope you are. But joy is not a cheesy smiley face. Don't worry, be happy. Joy is not a plastic smile. Smiles are good. They connect with your brain and help you feel better. That's the scientific fact. But joy is more than a smile. It's more than optimism. You know what joy is? Jesus said it. My joy I give to you. Joy is a personal relationship with Jesus. I rejoice in the God of my salvation. I am learning that Jesus is enough. I can trust and rely on him, rest in him, rejoice in him. And yes, the final point, I'll just say it, is to reignite through him, that his spirit can fuel and fill me for every day. Why? Because our days, our times are in his hands. He's got you. Are you in his hands? There's an old gospel invitation song that says, put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to do this, to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. All these things that we've been saying about God's time and God's timing in our lives, that's all for his children. Are you a child of God? Do you know him personally? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Many people have a relationship with the church. Many people have a relationship with people who know God. Many people have a relationship with a religion of some kind. But do you know Jesus Christ? Is his joy your joy? Have you trusted in him and him only for your salvation? If not, this is the moment. God planned this day, circled it on your calendar. This is not an accident that you're hearing this message. It's not by chance that you're here or that you're watching online. This is divine providence, and God's Spirit is moving in your life. He loved you enough to bring you to this place of decision and commitment to Him. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head all across this room and wherever you are watching this screen. And I'm going to invite you to pray and receive Christ in your life. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, every one of them, and all have sinned. You have sinned, I have sinned, but Jesus took your sins on the cross. He died. He rose again. He is alive, and He will live in you. He'll forgive all your sins. His presence will be powerful in your life every day, and you can know that you're going to heaven. I mean, ultimately, the big, big problem of the virus was the problem of death. And so many people are afraid to die, and rightly so, if you don't know Christ as your Savior. He breaks the power, the bondage of sin and death, even the fear of death. You don't have to live in that bondage of fear. So many people just living in constant dread and fear. Invite Christ into your life. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior by repenting of your sin. That means to turn from your sin and to trust in Christ and Christ only as your Savior and Lord. Pray like this: Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And I pray in your name, Jesus, that you would save me. Save me now. Deliver me from my sin. Change my life from within. Invite Christ into your life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. God so loved the world, you, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So pray and invite Christ into your life. And in just a moment here, I'm going to invite you to come forward and openly profess and confess that you're following Christ from this day forward. Don't wait till a better day. There may not be a better day, or there may not be another day. This may be the last time I preach the gospel. It may be the last time you hear the gospel. So come to Jesus today. Come forward and openly confess Him. Our ministers are upstairs and downstairs right here to receive you. If you have questions, we'll answer your questions. We want to give you some materials that will help you grow in your faith, and you can walk out of here celebrating life, because Jesus is in your heart, in your life. Online, text 74788 and then text in JESUS. We're standing by online. We'll send you a New Testament, a Bible. We'll respond to you. We'll answer your questions as well. We'll help you as you begin your walk with Jesus. There are others in this room and online who want to join the church. You want to be a part of this fellowship. You want to connect with a community group online, or you want to come forward today and be a part of Prestonwood. This is a family, and you're welcome to God's table, our family. So I want you to come today, lead the way, set the example. If you need to pray, or if you need prayer, come and pray at these steps, at this altar of decision. Come and pray with one of our ministers and get things right between you and God. But come, make that decision. The Spirit of God is moving in this place and in your heart right now. It would be worth it all. All this that we've gone through, if just you came to Jesus. God loves you that much. God is calling you to Himself. Lord, take now this time of decision. Work in every heart and every life. Add to your church. Bless your people. Build your kingdom. Save the lost. Restore the saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.